Good morning and welcome to 101.9, your favorite station, High FM. The time is now 9 and 11 minutes. It's the 20th day of the month of June. Believe it or not, we are, you can say tomorrow, it is the longest night and the shortest day. Am I right?
Absolutely.
The 21st. And who do we have with us? First, we've got with us Peter Feldman. How are you doing, Peter?
We're doing fine, Roy.
How are you?
I'm just recovering from a huge... Beatles music.
You liked it.
I like the movie a lot. There's certain things, there are flaws in the script, but the movie itself is great. If
you next time I'll write it better.
He wrote the script.
All right. And we've got to ask Moshe Stalag. How are you doing, Moshe?
Good morning. Very well.
You
nice
happy?
And warm here. In
nice
China.
And warm here in the studio, but yeah. Still the girls are still sitting with six.
All wrapped up.
Yeah, six jackets. Anyway, I've got my friend today that he's leaving today. So I've got my friend from the UK. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm fine. Thank you, Roy.
Good, good. Mark Manning, he's joined me for a week here in South Africa. He's, it's amazing, huh? It's actually my friend. Well, I met him in one day. We became good friends. And I went to the UK and it was really
you
nice and I invited him.
You better tell them what he does or what he did, how famous he is.
All right. So Mark Manning is the UK porn star, did exactly the same show that I did. Well, he's done it first. Yes. So I did exactly the same show he did. And it was very nice. So he had three seasons. We had only two and, that's it. That's basically Mark. The nice thing is most of his show is taken with a jacket and ours without.
Yeah. And you're better looking, Roy.
And I'm much better looking. Yeah. I mean, really. I mean, I was born for radio.
Oh, you were, mate. You got a face for radio. Believe me, you have got the face.
So, Mark, I want to talk a little bit about business this morning, and you know, you've been a week here, and. And you see, South Africa is not what you, it's, I mean, the weather is the best.
Oh, the weather's the best. This is like
for a winter is the best. It's but, what do you think? It's complicated, eh?
Yeah, this place is very complicated. Yeah.
It is complicated. I must say that, South Africa is really, really a beautiful country. And what's nice in South Africa, the people are beautiful in South Africa.
That's true, Roy. Very, very nice people.
The people are beautiful. It's just that we've got a little bit of problem with government, corruption. It doesn't happen much in your side of the world.
It's sad, but you have a beautiful country, beautiful people.
Beautiful country.
People are very warm here.
Very warm.
Yeah,
and the people are warm.
Yeah,
I'll invite you. They're very nice people. I wonder, like, when we talk about business, when I was in the UK recently with you, looks like business is booming there, is it true?
Yeah, it's busy. It's busy, especially pawnbroking business. Very busy.
Very busy.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone's scared about Brexit.
Really?
Everyone's scared about Brexit. But why? It won't affect the normal person.
Exactly what I'm saying. I mean, the normal Englishman wouldn't care about Brexit.
No.
I think it's kind of xenophobic, little bit of racism, a little bit of xenophobic. They don't want foreigners to come to the beloved Britain. Which I understand. I do understand. I can see the same thing in South Africa. A lot of South Africans saying, you know what, we don't have our own jobs. Now you're bringing people from other countries to take our own jobs. Like, we don't have jobs here. Why do you bring people from Zimbabwe, from Zambia, from Nigeria to have jobs? I mean,
yeah, same in England. Exactly the same. Everyone thinks it's, all over the world is the same. Everyone thinks the same.
Yeah, so same thing with, I mean, and England been really infested with people from, I don't think they care about much of, what they call white Europe. Like, they don't care about people coming, immigrate from Germany and Italy, but, or in France, but I think they've got problem with people immigrate from Albania. Yeah. And those countries, yeah. Uzbekistan and all
that. Yeah, there is a problem. There is
and
a
from
problem.
Russia and those places.
Yeah, Russia's not too bad, but, you know.
Russia's not too bad.
Not too bad, but we have a big Muslim community in England. Yeah. But,
all right. Yeah. What can you say? I mean, that's,
nice,
you know.
Again, everyone mixes. Nice people. We do mix.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, people are nice. In every community, you've got nice people, you've got bad people. In some communities, you've got more bad, more bad people. And, tell me, when you do the business in the UK, when you do the pawnbroking business, is that like, the same way we do it? Yeah. Or is it, or you find it here different? I mean, you're sitting in my office,
It is slightly different. Your office is mad busy and, it's a different way of working. It's a nice way of working in your office.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone's so friendly, so nice, but the system's exactly the same. Pawnbroker's system's the same. Really.
Mark, is it seasonal over there in England? Is it a seasonal business or is it right through the year? Is it popular? What is it?
It's right through the year. Now, in England, the middle classes, because we have different classes still in England, they're very shy about pawnbroking. Very shy. Where the lower classes and the higher classes don't care. It's the middle classes that are very shy about pawnbroking.
What is the most exciting object that someone brought in for evaluation and for pawnbroking? You mentioned to me last night off air about items from the Titanic.
I've seen it. Yeah.
I've always seen this in Mauritius. A guy came in and he had two pieces of the Titanic. Yeah. One's been seen on TV.
Yes.
The other one I've kept. He came in and I didn't believe him. He came into my shop about 10 times. And I thought, who can come into my shop with a piece of the Titanic? Who can do that? In the end, he proved it all to me, where he got it from, everything about it, and I brought it.
So, it was a small piece. Titanic was a massive, I don't know, 100 million tons. Or something. I don't know what. But, there was a small piece. There was a piece of iron.
What happened was, I forget what year, they dove down and they brought two pieces of the Titanic up. Two pieces of the hull.
All right.
One weighed about 20 odd ton, the other was about 9-10 ton. Brought it up for testing. So they tested the metal to see if the metal was fatigued, see if the rivets were working, all this different tests.
Yeah.
And off those pieces, they took sample pieces. And they weren't for public to have. Weren't for anyone to have. But my guy, I brought them off, he knew the guy who found the Titanic. So it was a gift off him to him. So that's how I got them.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
What can I say? You know what? We're going to start with a very, very nice song that I like. I mean, I'm sure you like it too.
And if we don't, can we complain to the management?
You can complain. You can complain. I don't care. His name is Gilbert O'Sullivan. This is Nothing Rhymed. I hope you like it, guys. Thank you for staying with us. The time is now 9:22. That was a good joke. He wants to admit.
Very funny.
Yeah, I do.
Got to use your imagination.
You don't need too much imagination. Moshe.
Yes.
So businesses. Now you say in Sandton, you start, basically it's a little bit of a problem now. People are dropping prices on the rentals
you know how it
restaurants, etc.
Demand and supply, you know, and the demand is not so high over there.
There's
so
plenty of supply.
Yes.
No. And plenty of supply. No demand.
The supply is there, but demand is not there. So if you want,
when is the last time you sold business, Sunshine?
You know what?
Is it a joke?
It is a joke because you know. Let me tell you one thing. I don't say it's so bad, but you can feel it. You can feel it. There's something happening, and you know, people are holding, and
holding for what?
Yeah, holding their money, holding their wishing, you know, to go into business because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, we got the banks that are not really financing you unless you're coming with something extraordinary things. They say, listen, otherwise, they say, listen, sorry, We're not financing.
And still when they finance you, the charges are over 10% a year. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's not like normal, in a normal environment, you have to repay a loan. It's a very expensive. I mean, for R1 million today, to repay a loan of R1 million over 10 years, it'll cost you over 13,000 rands a month.
Yes.
It's a little bit crazy, huh?
It's unfortunate, but you see, today, hopefully, the Mr. Ramaphosa will say something tonight.
State of the Nation address.
Let's see what he's going to say, and let's see if he can implement what he's going to say.
I really hope so. I think he's good. I think he can be good. But I think the people around him will hold him back. There's too many. He has to pay back a lot of things.
Favors.
A lot of favors. The people who got him into power, I think he'll have to pay back.
We mentioned this before, remember, Roy, that his problem is that he hasn't got a consensus in the party. We mentioned this before. And the moment you haven't got a consensus, anything you want to do, you must have an agreement with everybody. And he got a problem over here. Zuma didn't have it, but he got it.
So Zuma did whatever he wanted, and put us, apparently, I mean, whatever, there was Bruce Whitfield the other day was saying that it costed us the good part of about 2 trillion, if I'm not mistaken, that's what he said, about 2 trillion, Zuma administration.
Eskom,
2 trillion that we don't have.
Eskom owns 1.2 trillion to the public. Eskom alone.
And that was, one of the best, the 5 best electric companies in the world.
That's right.
Yeah. So basically what is happening right now, the way we see it, in the next few years, there'll be a lot of turmoils. And I think is, I don't think you can have investor confidence if we don't see some basically people executed. I'm not talking executed, but, I'm talking about execution in like going into jail, like people from Zuma administration going into jail. But if we're not going to see that, people will not invest anymore in this country. We need to get some people to, get together and, that's the way I see it.
The CEO of Old Mutual, Peter Moyo.
Yeah.
He was exit like an immediate effect. It was yesterday.
Why?
Because it was something, a difference, there was some dividend was paid, that it was unauthorized, I'm not really sure. But, it was a difference and, 150 billion or something.
And it's just been fired.
Straight away.
Yeah, but it's fired. Nothing happens to him. You see what happened?
No, he was exited, fired, yes. Now he's going to court, to fight it, but it shows you that even this big companies, a CEO.
Listen, how many cases did we have of problems lately? We had Busasa. This is crazy.
Yes.
But they died down. Where the last time you heard about Busasa?
No, Busasa doesn't exist. But now, the 500,000 rand that was given to Ramaphosa is still alive.
Yeah.
They still talk about this, and he must answer to it, and
Yeah. And, okay, but why did he take the 500,000 rands? It's another story. There's nothing.
They say donation, they say for the campaign, everybody gives a difference. So
yeah,
all
right,
but
look, we've got Busasa. What happened to VBS? Where VBS died? Did you have VBS? VBS was alive for a few days, then it's finished. Why the media don't talk about it anymore? Why we don't talk about it anymore?
You know, I mentioned this last week or 2 weeks ago, that Zuma said, if you don't drop the charges, I'm going to open my mouth.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Why?
Now, in
so
every...
So he's got what to say. That's what he said.
In every first world country, they say, listen, come. We're going to charge you just to open the mouth. In this country, maybe they'll drop it. We don't know.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
My God.
Doesn't matter. They should have given him state witness. They should have let him open his mouth. I mean,
yes,
he should
and they
open
will know
his mouth.
Exactly who gets what and where's the sitting. Fine, you got that, you spend it. Now go. You see, because the people are sitting in the executive positions,
yeah,
and they're ruining the country.
You know, my father,
nothing happening.
My father says Zuma was sitting in power for 10 years. Next to him was sitting who? Who was sitting next to him? Who was his deputy?
Ramaphosa.
He didn't know nothing. He didn't know nothing. I mean, this guy was doing Gupta. He didn't know nothing. Oh, come on, man. That's why I've got very, very big difficulties believing what's happening here. And I really hope you know what? Let's pray to God that it's all going to be great and it's all going to be okay. And you know what? I'm going to put something a little bit making us, to make us abisale, how do you say in Yiddish? Abisale happy.
That's right. A little bit happy.
Abisale happy.
This is The Hustle with Roy Peretz.
You know, Jewish women are so bad. It's not a joke. It's a real story about a man that was just busy dying. He was really busy dying. And you know what? He starts smelling this, a very good smell coming from the kitchen. And he says to his wife, what is a good Jewish name?
Malka.
Moisha.
Rochela.
Rochela. Rochela. Do me a big favor, Rochela. This smell is killing me. Please give me a piece of this cake as a strudel cake. She says, you're out of your mind? This cake is for your funeral.
No.
And we're back. Thank you for staying with us. Time is now 9:34, and we're here for another stretch of the show. So we were talking on the break. We were talking about what's happening with Brexit in the UK. And you know, in every country lately, there's like small demographic problems. But the UK is quite a successful economy. Everything ran there quite smooth. Crime is almost minimal.
Crime.
There's crime everywhere, but it's minimal. I mean, you can walk the streets. I mean, we walk the streets middle of the night.
Yes, but it's very, Roy, it's very, very, very safe, believe me.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, you could see, I mean, we were walking at night. It's dark, night, cold. You see, like in the movies of the, how do you call the guy that used to kill the girls? What was the?
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, Jack the Ripper
Jack
nights.
The Ripper, yeah,
right. Kind of those kind of nights. And you could see young girls walking the street. Alone. So
they were
working. No. Actually, I haven't seen any working girl there. I'm sure they are, but
I don't know what they are, Roy. I've never
seen. I'll believe you, but those millions out there. what do we have? We're gonna read out. So imagine this cowboy is riding to town. So as he stopped it for a drink, you know. You know, and unfortunately locals had a habit of picking on strangers, which he was. So when he finished the drink, he found his horse was being stolen. So he went to him back to the bar, and you know, he was completely, and he started flipping his gun up. You know, he just flipped it and like caught it above his head, and without looking, you know, at anyone, he shot at the ceiling and says, you know, which one of you sidewinders stole my horse? Says, I'm going to have a drink. And by the time I finish my drink, I want my horse back. If not, I'm going to do what I've done in Texas. And I don't like doing what I've done in Texas. Anyway, the guys look anyway. He ordered another whiskey. As he downed his whiskey, he looks, his horse is back. So the barman ran after him and says, sir, what happened in Texas? He says, I had to walk alone. Thank you for staying with us. The time is now 9:38. We've got with us Mark Manning from the UK. We've got with us Peter Feldman from South Africa. Peter, you've seen yesterday a movie. Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Now, let me tell you, Mark is a great fan of the
Beatles.
Of the Beatles. And, we're actually singing songs of the Beatles at the river. So, talk to us about the movie. Yesterday. Did you watch the movie, by the way?
I've not seen it yet. No. I'm going to go see it tomorrow.
So he's
going to
tell you all about it.
I won't go into too many details, but, it's all Beatles music. And it has an interesting premise. It's an era when no one's ever heard of the Beatles. The Beatles don't exist at that time.
Well, is it modern day? Is it now?
It's supposed to be modern day, but something happens to the lead character who's able to duplicate, replicate, whatever, sing all the Beatles music. And throughout the movie, he's writing new songs, but the songs are Beatles songs. And he's like channeling the Beatles. And that's all I'm prepared to say at this stage. Richard Curtis, who worked with many, many great people, and he writes terrific scripts, is the man behind the script. So I think you've got to put your mind into neutral and enjoy it for what it is. But if you love the Beatles, this is the movie to see. And Lily James, who
is well made.
Downton, it's well made, Roy. Downton Abbey. Lily James from Downton Abbey plays the female lead, the romantic interest, plays the manager of this guy who writes all the Beatles songs. And this guy's name is Patel, Hema Patel, who was in EastEnders. And he goes around the country, and eventually he's performing all these Beatles songs. And Ed Sheeran is also in the
Ed Sheeran.
Yes, yeah. He's got a quite a major part.
It sounds good.
And yes, so that's.
And it sounds nice. It's the songs.
Everybody came out humming the Beatles.
Oh, well, you can't.
It was a hard day's night.
Yeah.
You can't
But you realize how great the writing was, you know, how they touched the soul with their lyrics.
It was poetry.
It was poetry. We didn't realize it at that stage. I remember. It came back
I'm far too young for that.
I know that. But I was around, you know. I've been around a while. So No, Roy, let's not go there.
Moshe's been around for a while, I don't know. Moshe actually... You know, Moshe and Jesus, they knew each other. From Crash.
Don't take that.
They used to SMS each other.
Yeah.
When you mention Jesus, I must tell you a little joke story, you know. Yeah. When Jesus just was alive 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, one day he walks in the street and he says a person got a shop, he's doing dresses and suits and everything. And he watches the shop, and the shop is very busy. So he walks in, he says, listen, I was watching your shop, he says, I want to become your partner. So the person says, no, I'm quite busy, I'm okay. He says, no, still, I want to become your partner. You are an elderly man. He says, okay, let me think about this. Eventually, he calls him again, he comes, he says, okay, fine, let's do a partnership. But how are we going to call the shop? So Jesus said, no, we're going to call it Jesus and Rabinovitz. Because the owner of the shop was Rabinovitz.
Yeah.
No, so the person said, no, must be Rabinovitz and Jesus. It's my shop. Eventually, they couldn't come to a conclusion. So they argued. Eventually, they come to one conclusion and they called the shop Lord and Taylor.
Good one.
Very good.
Good one. So what is this song that you think made the most impression from the Beatles? Which song do you like the most?
Oh, the most. My Sweet Lord. That's George Harrison.
Yeah, this one.
But my favorite Beatles song probably is A Day in the Life.
Really?
Yeah.
Yours?
Here Comes the Sun.
Here Comes the Sun. You?
Yeah, I had also Yesterday. It was very good, Paul McCartney. But, you know, my daughter also, she loves the Beatles. Sasha,
they love the Beatles, eh?
And now,
what do you think about that one?
We've got a Beatlemania here.
Let it be.
I think, for me, I mean, there's the Beatles and there's Let It Be. Let It Be. Now, Let It Be.
This is The Hustle with Roy Peretz.
And we're back for the last stretch of the show. The time is now 9:46. And, we talked a little bit about politics. We talked a little bit about corruption. We talked about the UK. And my friend is leaving today. And I'm going to miss him because, you know, you stay with someone for a week and after he goes, it's like an empty space.
A brother from
what
a
can
different
I say?
Mother.
Hey? Yes, no, I'm telling you. It was really, really nice.
Really bonded, right?
Really. I mean, it's very similar. We do the same things.
We understand the business, you know, just from different perspectives.
Yeah.
You're in England and Roy's here in South Africa.
Yeah.
But a pawn shop's a pawn shop. People come in and wanted pawn
shops. You know, when they talk about pawn shops, people got a misconception.
Yes.
Yes, true.
Actually, maybe they've got the correct conception. I'll tell you, but when you come to my pawn shop, and I don't want to just blow my own horn, but you come to my pawn shop, it's different.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Your pawn shop is different. I would pawn at your pawn shop, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I would.
Why, Roy?
Maybe.
A difference between a hotel and a boutique hotel. You are a boutique hotel. You know, when you walk into your place, I was at your place many times.
Yeah.
You come in, you see, you can walk into a pawn shop, and everything's upside down.
Yeah.
It's really a pawn shop. You're upside down everything.
It's dusty,
here, everything,
it's
you know, is like a boutique.
And you're not made to feel welcome. In some pawn shops, they don't make you feel welcome. In Roy's place,
you see it, you get a cup of coffee.
He wants you to leave with a smile on your dial.
Yeah. I tell you something. This is something that I think in every business, they must adopt that. when your client leaves your business, when the client walks away, make sure he's happy.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's worth to say, why aren't you happy? When he leaves with a sad face, so why aren't you happy?
Roy, it's very simple. I've seen you operate and I've seen how you deal with people. I mean, you've got to use a certain amount of psychology in dealing with different people.
You must be a nice person when you're dealing with people. Otherwise, go work metal sheet work.
Yes, correct.
Do building, do whatever. If you have to deal with people, and it doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a pawnbroker, it doesn't matter. When you deal with people, you deal with people's feelings.
That's right.
You have to know, especially when they come to a pawnbroker or a doctor, or a plumber for that matter, you got a problem.
Yeah.
You're not going to come. I mean, no one comes to me because he likes me. Yeah, but actually,
well,
people come to see me. Yeah, but no one goes to a pawnbroker because they like them. They go to a pawnbroker because they got a problem.
Because
he needs
them. Yeah.
So pawnbroker knows. You got a problem. Okay, you got a problem. It's my time to nail you. No, you don't do that. When somebody comes to you, you must be humble because they're already in problem. Why you want to add some more problems? You want to
look, you know, as I said, it's psychology. A person walks into a pawn shop for one reason.
Yep.
He wants to give you something to get something. He knows that you're going to make a profit.
Yes.
There's no free lunch over here. Now, but the way you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the people's person.
100%.
And he walks away and says, fine, I didn't get what I want, but at least I'm happy. Everything is, I walk in with a smile.
Yep.
You know, I want to tell you, maybe it's below the belt, but a good deal, let's say in Israel, a good deal is when the seller and the buyer, the signal, they scold each other.
Yeah.
Good one.
But,
what do you say?
But when you walk into a pawn shop, you're selling something that's close to your heart. You have to because you need the money.
Yes.
Your circumstances are
selling or pawning.
Pawning and selling, Roy, they're two different. You did explain once the difference.
Pawning is I've got a family heirloom. Let's say it's a pendant that my mom was wearing. Let's say I don't have money. I'm going to pawn it, and I want to get it back in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Doesn't matter. I want to get it back. So this is pawning. I'm giving it to you to hold. It's a security. You know, I'm going to come back because it's really, really dear to me. And it's worth a lot of money, or it's worth the next amount of money. You're going to give me less as a pawnbroker. Give you less. Make sure you're coming back and fetch it. That's pawning. Selling is selling. You sell something. You know what? Your mother-in-law died. You don't care. Did I say that out loud? Yeah. So your mother-in-law died. You don't care. Then you sell his stuff and you take the money and you go party.
But
you charge interest on the pawning.
Definitely. Listen, yes, I mean, we have to make a living. So when I lend money, I charge interest.
Yes.
The interest vary between 5% and, you know, in some matters, even 30%.
Mm.
So, it varies on the amount that we lend. Obviously, I mean, if you come with something that's worth 100 rands, we're not going to charge you 105 rands. I mean, it's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? It's a waste of time of whatever, but,
It's a fast way of getting money quick, isn't it, Roy? If you need money fast, it's a fast way.
It's the best way of getting money.
It is.
And you know, but they say, only people don't have money use it. My pawn shop is in Hyde Park, the most posh area in South Africa, I think.
It is.
And, you'll find that many rich people use my pawn shop.
Yeah.
Why they use my pawn shop? They use my pawn shop for the reason of, you know, I've got a guy that if he needs, for instance, to release a container from the customs, now he needs a VAT money. The VAT money, can be a container, can be worth 2 million rands. VAT money is only 300,000 rands. But the 300,000 rands, he needs it now. Not tomorrow. He needs it now. So he comes, parks his Mercedes, gets the 300,000 rands, does his business, triple his money, come back, pays me a little bit on my commission, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
But you go to the bank, you're going to wait 6 months before you're going to get the loan, if you're going to get the loan. They're going to turn your kishke upside down.
They check your credit. They go through your credit file, everything. The bank is, a nightmare.
The banks, I believe, and you know what? I must bring a bank manager here. The bank gives money only to people who don't need it.
Correct. That's right. You give money to the rich people.
People who don't need it.
Yeah.
If you don't need it, you can have as much money as you want from the bank. When you need it, you don't get it.
How many new
banks will give you an umbrella in winter. Comes raining, take away the umbrella.
Correct.
As I was saying, Roy, look how many new banks have opened in the last couple of months.
In South Africa?
Yes, 4 new banks have opened in the last.
Did they?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I know that Standard Bank closed 81 branches.
I know. There's one near me that's closed.
And they're closing some more now because they're going digital.
And Nedbank fired 3,000 people. I mean, what are you talking about? Where do you say banks are opening?
Oh, I can ask you a question. When did you wrote a check lately.
Let me tell you. So what's happening is like this. When I go to weddings, I don't like, and I'm serious now, I don't like giving presents. I never give presents when I go to weddings. I only give checks. We Israelis, you know.
Okay.
We give checks. So.
No, no, because
I just keep my checkbook for weddings. You know, weddings and Mom, bar mitzvahs and whatever.
I tell you, I used to use a lot of checks.
Yes,
in my
I
business.
Did too, yeah.
Now, the bank is charging you R100 per check for you not to use checks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so
really?
Expensive.
Yes. R100 check.
Yes. You don't use checks.
So what are you doing?
And secondly, Standard Bank came to the decision they're going to close the branches. They don't want you to walk into the branch. Everything is digital.
It's all going that way.
The whole world goes this way.
Yeah.
Now, after Standard Bank, Nedbank, FNB, APSA, all of them will follow through.
And what's happening at the end of the day? You're losing the art of communication, Roy.
Yeah.
People aren't talking to anybody.
Yeah,
they're talking to a machine.
In the olden days, the bank manager used to be your mate.
Yes, yes.
Today you don't know. You know,
don't
call center.
Know.
You got a call center. You talk. You don't know who you're talking to.
When I came to South Africa, I came to Newcastle, and the bank manager and his
wife
wife was working there as a PR in the bank, and they used to come to us for lunch. We used to have like great relations with the bank manager.
It doesn't
happen anymore. I don't know who's my bank manager. I haven't been in the bank for 2 years.
That's right.
Now, my bank manager comes to me to sign for I must say. Guys, I just want to say goodbye to you guys. I want to say goodbye to Mark, my dear friend Mark. Oh. I want you so much for staying here. I'm going to come see you next month. I'm going to say
September.
Yeah. Beginning of September, I'm going to come see you. As we start our spring here, and you're starting your autumn.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to come there, and hopefully we're going to do some business between South Africa and the UK. Hopefully we're going to have a new show.
Yeah,
yeah. So listen to this spot. Stay on this spot.
I was going to say, listen to this space.
Yeah,
yeah, between his ears.
There's a lot of space there.
I just want to finish with a lovely song, something from Queen, something that Peter will like, I think. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Ah, what do you think about that one?
I love it, man.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much for being with us today. And have a good Shabbos. What more can I say?
Nothing more. Thank you, Roy. Great show.
Thank you, guys.